You're listening to TechNado. Welcome back to another thrilling episode of TechNado, brought to you by ACI Learning, the folks behind IT Pro. Remember, you can use that code TechNado30 for a discount on your IT
That's
Pro
my
membership.
Thriller.
Okay, it took me a second. I was like, what is the connection?
Yeah.
Okay, I understand now. Yeah. Daniel was hitting the thriller. For those of you listening in audio mode, I would recommend tuning in so you can see that. It's going to be a great day. Great episode. We got new games coming out this week that I'm excited to talk about. Our new game, Singular. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. But some stuff about Kaspersky, the AT&T breach. I mean, we have a lot to get through, don't we?
We do. There's a bit of news there for you good folks.
Like a bit
and
of honey.
Some of it is a little kind of important.
A little bit.
So.
Yeah, a little bit.
Could be running some of these systems that are going to need you to do some stuff.
So. News affecting millions, perhaps.
What do they say? News you can use.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think
I've heard that one before, but yes,
really?
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a little behind.
You are 12.
In most things. I just watched Batman Begins for the first time like 2 weeks ago.
Really? Yeah. How was it? How'd you find it?
I really liked it.
It was a good movie.
Like, honestly, I've not seen most of the Batman films, like in the history of Batman being a character. I know there's lots of iterations of it, but of the ones I had seen, The Dark Knight was my favorite, but I had never seen Batman Begins. It was just a little before my time. And finally, admittedly, full disclosure, I heard Cillian Murphy was in it, and I was like, gotta see this.
You're a big Cillian Murphy fan, huh?
I do enjoy his work. Yeah, okay. Ever since I really liked him in Red Eye. I thought he was really good in Red Eye. Weird to see him play a character that was like psychotic. That was pretty fun. So now I want to see him. I didn't realize he was in Interstellar. I've seen it, or not Interstellar, Inception? I think he was in or
was
something.
It's been a long time since
Interstellar or Inception. One of the two that I've seen and didn't even register that he was in. Anyway, I enjoyed Batman Begins. It might be my new favorite Batman film now. It may have dethroned.
It's funny that you watched that because I literally, yesterday, the day before, watched Tim Burton Batman.
Huh.
Just randomly.
Tim Burton Batman.
Yeah, the Tim Burton Batman. Yeah.
How was that?
That's great. Okay. I saw it in the theater when I was a kid. So.
Oh, okay.
This looks like one of my favorite like comic book movies. It helped define a genre.
Okay. See, I was more of a, I was a Marvel girly when I was like a kid.
Yeah.
And so I fell behind on a lot of the DC stuff and I have some catching up to do. I'll get there eventually. But
yeah.
So I had a productive
little pop culture aside.
Pop culture. Pop culture.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. I have ruined you for life, haven't
yes.
I?
Yes. Yes, you have. Well, to start off with, you know, we've kind of been doing this new segment of things that are just popping up on our radar the day that we film these that we don't have time to get super deep into, but we feel like it's important to cover. I think it's about time for some breaking news.
Breaking news!
I'm surprised you didn't do the hammer.
I know that no one can hear that.
Christian?
Yeah. We're smiling because we hear Christian screaming over the microphone.
Our director's really doing us a solid, letting us know what the sound's going to sound like. So Daniel found this one this morning. Critical Apache huge graph vulnerability is under attack. Patch ASAP. Seems like that would be the obvious solution, but looks like CVSS score 9.8. So I can see why they're saying patch ASAP, Daniel.
Yeah, you know, when they hit those nines, that's when you really start paying attention.
It's true.
And when it's actively being exploited, that's also another eyebrow raiser, got to be honest with you. If you are running Apache HugeGraph version, anything before 1.3.0, you should probably hit the oh crap button at this point. And we will forgive that you are leaving the TechNado as we speak, running over to your servers to do some updating, because yes, this is an actual problem. There's some things you can do. Users are recommended to upgrade to version 1.3.0 with Java 11 and enable the auth system, which fixes the issue. They also say you can also enable the whitelist IP port function to improve the security of the RESTful API execution. So that's going to be some of those little tidbits of information that you can run over and make those adjustments to your server. Keep yourself a little safer because, that would be bad. We'd hate to see anything bad. That's a nice patchy server you got there. It'd be a shame if something were to happen to it, like, I don't know, crypto lock, that kind of thing, a little double extortion. You know, that's be a horrible
little
thing.
Double bubble. Double toil and trouble or whatever.
Okay. We've gone.
Whatever the line is.
Iambic pentameter with.
I try to keep a little bit of culture in the in the TechNado room. That's probably a mistake. But yes, you're right. Patch ASAP.
Listen, I don't like your fancy learning.
Big words are not
That's
allowed
right.
here. We did say before the episode we were going to try to make this.
Come on, I just don't appreciate the way it's my suspenders.
I thought you were just going to say your mom.
No.
And that was going to be your response. like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're your mom.
You just know those big words? Your mom. Yeah. That's your answer.
See, I got them intellectual comebacks.
Well, if you're hearing it here first, like Daniel said, yeah, you might want to run over and patch this. And that's not the only vulnerability on our radars this morning. Chrome 126 updates, patch 126 updates.
126
Jeez,
updates.
Okay. 126 updates, patch high of security vulnerabilities. Now, I know, obviously, 126, big number. Of that 126, how many of them are actually severe?
I want to say it was 8 of them. They said that, yeah, you know, there's a little problem. And you need to take a look at this. Google ended up paying out $32,000 in bug bounties for the different flaws. I do believe they have a breakdown of them. Let me find that. It was here. I swear. Oh, there it is. Use after free flaws. There were race conditions in the dev tools, out of bounds memory access. What else? We got a type confusion. That's fun. It resolves. Oh, so it said not 8 flaws. It says implementation flaw in V8. So, like,
but you're
we
right.
Said, we read this one like 17 minutes ago.
You're right. It does say earlier in the article, including 8 high severity.
Oh,
bugs.
Was it
so
8
you
high
had
severity?
It. You
okay.
Had it. Yeah.
I'm not getting
you're
confused.
You're right. You're right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Facts.
But you're
still
right.
Good here.
This is, we do read them pretty quickly. And
yeah, we do.
Like, go, go, go.
Well, lots of stuff going on there. So just obviously the fact that this is potential for remote code execution and sandbox escape. Nightmare scenario when it comes to browser. So, you know, go ahead and if you see that, hey, you should patch your Chrome, time to update, go ahead and hit that button, make that happen.
Yeah.
I know you got 400 tabs open. Who doesn't, right? Who doesn't? But, you know, it has the restore tab function, so just do that.
That's true. I don't keep a lot of tabs open, but I do keep a lot of folders of several bookmarks. So it's
my bookmarking is
I've got
expensive.
Like 10 folders that each have 10 bookmarks in them, or 10 tabs in them.
Yeah.
So really, I do kind of have a bunch of stuff going on at once.
It's a layered approach.
It's a layered approach. Yeah. But yes, absolutely. Good to cover those critical vulnerabilities first thing.
And these things were, like we said, this is breaking. These articles are from today.
As of
today, this is the 17th.
When we're filming this. So yeah, if there's anything else that you want to add, feel free to let us know in the comments if there's anything that we missed. But it is hard to catch everything. So we're not done talking about these critical vulnerabilities and flaws, though, because there's another one from a little bit earlier in the week we wanted to bring up. Critical XIM, is that how you would say that?
XIM, yeah.
XIM flaw allows attackers to deliver malicious executables to mailboxes. Oh, malicious executables. How fun.
Those are always a good time. Aww. Had by all, right?
How cute.
So XIM. They create it's kind of a so they use what's called an MTA mail transfer agent. This is the way we basically send mail to each other. And if they hit another MTA, then they can forward that on to the MTA that it's looking for. But if the user exists on the MTA that it lands in, then they can deliver the mail to the person. It's great. It's wonderful. We love it. Unfortunately, there is an issue tracked at CVE 2024-39929 with a CVS score of 9.1. Like I said, once it gets into that whole we really start paying attention once we crack the nines, right? It's impacting the header parsing in RFC 2231. So if you're a little more familiar with XIM than I am, that makes sense to you. It results in file names being incorrectly parsed, which could allow remote attackers to bypass the name the file name extension blocking protection mechanisms, which would be bad. Right, we don't want that to happen. Successful exploitation of security defects could allow attackers to deliver, right, those bad executables into your mailboxes, which is what we look to avoid on a daily basis.
That is true.
Right? Here we are struggling. We're on the struggle bus together, trying to keep the bad stuff out of your inbox. And unfortunately, XIM, you know, these things happen. But the good news is, if I'm not mistaken, there's a proof of concept code. No, that's not the good
No,
news.
go. Put this to use. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Just
do they kidding. Have update to this? That is the question.
It says proof of concept code has been released, but no exploitation attempts observed yet.
yet.
But I'm not seeing anything about like, oh, here's how you can fix it. Here's a workaround, anything like that.
No, it says right seeing. Here. This vulnerability was disclosed last month and was addressed in XIM MTA version 4.98.
Gotcha.
And I believe if you go to XIM's website, it is kind of a barking dog there saying, hey, XIM 4.98 is this version you should be on.
Hmm.
So it looks like they have addressed it. But most internet-facing servers remain unpatched. And that's according to Census, who kind of weighed in on this. If you're not familiar with Census, it's a wonderful little search engine that allows you to find internet-connected devices. So if you got that XM server out there or you're using XM in any capacity, you might want to go ahead and grab that update and go for, you know, I've heard good things about 4.98 XM. I hear it's really nice. Got those new features like less flaws.
That might be
where you want to go with this.
That'd be a good idea. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. I think, as far as I know, oddly enough, that's it for flaws this
week.
It's
like patch day, though, man. There was like a lot of patches going on.
A lot of patches, especially considering just Google alone, there was like 126. Yeah. So still a lot going on. But moving on, we've got another old favorite segment that we haven't really done in a while. We haven't seen this in a while. I believe this is Deja News.
Deja News.
I know it's your favorite, musically, at least.
That's a catchy tune.
It is. Hey,
I make no apologies.
Enjoying
Queen Bee's.
Nor should you.
Great.
Beyonce, she's got it. This, you might have heard a little bit, perhaps, this week about the AT&T breach. This is not the first time we've talked about an AT&T breach or security issue in the last however many weeks, but in this case, this one's been linked to an American hacker. The telecom giant paid a $370,000 ransom, according to reports. Now, I don't think AT&T has come out and made a statement about this yet, but it was somebody was able to see like a blockchain transaction, I guess, where it changed hands between AT&T and this hacker, and it was that amount that this American hacker asked for. So if you haven't seen stuff about this breach yet, it was hundreds of millions or 100 million customers were impacted and their data was exposed. And it wasn't like calls and text messages like the content, but it was like any number that you interacted with.
Right.
There was like a log of all these numbers. Just still not good.
No,
still not good.
Any access from a unauthorized organization or individual
is always bad.
Is no bueno, right? This is what we're looking to avoid. But it's good to know that phone numbers, they seem to be fairly findable, right? If I needed your number, I could probably find it on the open web.
That is true. Yeah.
Is that a big deal? AT&T, big company, data breach. And is it just the numbers that they got or what else
did
they get?
This is what we know so far.
Correct.
That's been accessed. But then, in 2 months,
this is just what they're willing to admit.
Yeah. By the way, you might want to check and make sure your identity didn't get stolen.
You know.
You're going to laugh. Yeah. You're going to laugh.
Remember that time we told you about the data breach? Well, here's the thing.
It's so crazy.
Oh, they got your passwords.
I think you're right, though. Like, even though maybe something like a phone number, if you looked hard enough, you could find it, right?
Right.
It's more like, okay, now if somebody wanted to I don't know why I would be a target, but if somebody wanted to target me or people that I was close to, now they know.
In conjunction with other stuff. That's when it gets really stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, AT&T, they caught you napping.
They did.
And crypto locked your junk. Was it ransomware, right?
Yeah, it was ransomware. And I guess it was back in May that AT&T reportedly paid this hacker close to $400,000, but the data still got leaked.
They were leaking samples of it to verify that it was real. Right.
Yeah.
It was a real, like, we really did this and here's the proof.
Yeah.
Here's a snippet of some of that stuff just in case you think we're bullshitting you.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that got me about this is that I'm just being naive. I always thought the idea was that you don't pay the ransom. Like, you're not supposed to.
We do not negotiate to a terrorist.
Right. Exactly. Like, it doesn't do you much good because, maybe then, it prevents your data from getting leaked.
The federal government
does
not negotiate with terrorists.
But private companies.
Private companies, on the other hand, that's up to them whether or not they wish to negotiate with terrorists.
Yeah.
So if they feel like paying them is less impactful to their bottom line and their business than not paying them, I would assume that the companies that have made that assessment are paying.
Good point. That is a good point.
And then you have cyber insurance.
Yeah.
It used to be the running joke, and maybe it still is. I haven't had to mess around with cyber insurance in a while. Is that, we're not paying them. Our cyber insurance company is paying them, and they negotiate a lower price for those things to kind of like, And it's basically, they are a ransomware group. I don't know if you know this, but there are negotiators that deal with like human ransom.
That is true.
That ransom, well, hey, you know, the family really can't afford that. They can't get that much money together. So what about this much? And you get some money, everybody's happy, and da, da, da. That's kind of how those things go, and it bled over into the, you know, digital world.
We had the, I'm trying to block their information here, but somebody did forward to me the message that AT&T sent out to like their customers.
Cool. Yeah.
To hey, we're letting you know, we're reaching out to let you know, I think I have their information blocked too, their email and stuff. We're reaching out to let you know that some of your data was accessed without authorization. We have no current indication of any public release or illegal use, but we respect the privacy of your info. We want to provide you with details. So they've got like the information involved. They say it doesn't include the content of the calls or texts, no personal information, and no timestamp or calls or of calls or texts. So it was just the counts of calls and texts and call durations. By itself, like you said, not really super, super concerning.
Well,
it's
at least not on the surface. It doesn't seem maybe not fully baked ideas. This is off the dome, you know? So it to me, I probably wouldn't like freak out knee jerk reaction.
Yeah. As an AT&T customer, it would be concerning just to be like, okay, well then if that's not secure, what else isn't secure? But
right. That's where I'd be like, oh yeah.
What don't we know?
You let people breach you.
Yeah.
That seems to be a problem. What aren't you telling me?
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's where I would want to go. Now, I heard a lot of people talking about how much they paid. And like, this was
it's
a big
king's share. Yeah.
$370,000 in the ransom. I just did a quick Google search here and it says the average ransom payments surged by 500% in the last year to reach $2 million per payment, according to Sophos, the State of Ransom 2024 report. So this is a recent report. This compares to an average payment of $400,000 calculated by Sophos in 2023. So even by 2023 standards, they hit underneath average.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why everybody's kind of making a big deal about, or at least in my experience, maybe in your experience, you're not seeing that, but I just saw it mentioned a couple of times as if it were a lot.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I don't have $370,000.
Right. It's a lot for us.
To throw at a ransomware.
Yeah. For AT&T, it's like.
Yeah. One of the executives is like, how much do they want? I think I've got, let me.
That was my bonus last year.
Can you break $100,000 bill?
It's like Monopoly money for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's a good point.
One guy's lighting his cigar.
With the money?
With hundos,
it depends on your perspective, I guess. It's a lot for us, but maybe even not for AT&T.
Yeah.
But you're right. I did see some, a king's, a lion's share, a ransom amount. Yeah. So just depends on your perspective, I guess. But continuing with the Dejan News theme, you might have remembered that over the last few weeks, we've talked a little bit about Kaspersky and how they are waving goodbye to their operations in the U.S. Kaspersky exits U.S. market following Commerce Department ban. Wah, wah. I did read that they're apparently giving away some like free software as gifts.
Oh, really?
As like a parting gift to Americans.
That
like,
you can't use.
Free security software for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, good luck.
I guess that would be the people that already, maybe it's like.
Yeah. If they've already got
their
stuff.
They're not charging them for the service.
Yeah. The rest of it's free. It's free till you can't use
until
it anymore.
Until you can't use it anymore. Yeah.
Which is nice of them. It's nice.
Just really interesting, you know, to see them pulling out and being no longer their persona non grata.
Yeah.
In the American workforce. I wonder, to me, this is just like, where do we go now? Like, does it continue? And if so, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing?
It's a good point.
There's probably good points on both sides of that argument that if we deem Kaspersky to be an arm of the Russian government, then I feel like that would be a good thing that we got them out of here. We do see that Kaspersky has done a lot of good in the world of cybersecurity as well.
Yeah.
So like it seems to be in conflict. This isn't like, China who actively are trying to kick our ass digitally every day of our lives, or a Russian ransomware gang that's doing X, Y, Z. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
We know that Russia is not friendly to us, but Kaspersky, is it the same as China where in China, TikTok is owned and controlled, at least ultimately, by the CCP.
Sure, right? Yeah.
Is that the same in Russia? I don't know, just because I haven't researched into it. If it is, I can understand why we would be hesitant to allow them access into, even if we've never seen.
Sure,
You know what I mean? This is a very complex
issue. A lot of unknowns.
Yeah.
I
I would have to become an expert in this.
Yeah, you'd have to do some research.
Yeah.
I would be curious to know how long from the inception of this idea of like, oh, Kaspersky, bad news, we got to get him out.
Yeah.
And now it looks like a July 20th is the day the ban comes into effect. How long did that take? Because I've been hearing about TikTok bad for like the last 10 years, it seems like. I know it's not been that long, but like it seems like it's been a long time. And yet I can still go on TikTok. It's not, there's been no like active, it's banned in the US. It's been talked about. I know there's been like court cases and stuff that have been going on, but how long does it take? If we know that this is supposedly a threat, how come it's taking so long to take care of TikTok?
Yeah.
But this, lickety split, you're able to take care of this. I wonder what that is.
Right? Yeah. And the fact that like, so they say the manipulation of Kaspersky software, including in U.S. critical infrastructure, can cause significant risk of data theft, espionage, and system malfunction, the Bureau of Industry and Security noted. It can also risk the country's economic security and public health, resulting in injuries or loss of life. But is there, okay, so is this, do I have to read this Commerce Department? Do they have a report available that shows the, like the smoking gun of, or we just feel that they are connected to the FSB and we can prove that, but even though we can't prove that they've actually done anything, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, there seems to be a lot unknown that's going on here.
I guess maybe if the risk that they think they'd be taking here by allowing Kaspersky to continue operations, if they're saying that the risk of doing that is, there might be issues of data theft and espionage and economic security for the whole country.
Yeah.
Whereas the TikTok stuff is like, well, you as an individual might have, you know, you might be being spied on, I guess, or your data might be being farmed or whatever. And so it's not as big of a deal because you're just talking about the individual U.S. citizen and consumer, and we can deal with that later. But this is like, well,
this is
a threat to our nation.
This is a full spread.
Yeah.
Hit on these things.
Like, could be.
I could see that. Well, yeah. I'm surprised they didn't start off with just not in the U.S. government. You can't have this in the U.S. government. Okay.
Right.
But to just come out and full scale wipe them off the map as far as like the U.S. market goes.
Maybe their reasoning and logic is that like if the U.S. government is entangled at all with any big tech firms, and they're thinking that, I know we're inching into conspiracy territory.
We're starting.
I know.
I mean, not that we don't know that they haven't, obviously, you know, the Twitter files has kind of proven that there's at least some communications between the two.
So if they think that there's a chance that big tech firms like that would then use
then
technically their private companies.
Come in through the side door.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be,
I don't know.
This is
I would love to see a report. That's all I'm saying. I would love to see a report on
this. Speculating.
And if, don't get me wrong. Don't hear me say, like, I'm a patriot to the United States. And Russia is an enemy, a foreign, we're
foreign,
not friendly.
Adversary, right.
That's right. And if they're doing anything hinky, just saying, I've seen Kaspersky just do a lot of really good things out in the security space. So I have this kind of weird
little inner conflict.
Yeah. This weird little inner conflict inside. But if they're adjoined to any way to the FSB and any kind of espionage or attacks against America, then good riddance.
Right. Exactly.
Right. That's just how I feel.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see if anything more comes out about this maybe there are details that are in whatever the report was that was released. It says, it was an extremely thorough report, but I like you said, I wonder if there was like a smoking gun. Yeah. Oh, this is very obvious, or just
I'm definitely going to look into any kind of evidence that they have.
Okay. Be curious to know what y'all think about that too, what your opinions are on that. And I second what you said. Hey, staunch patriot. If there truly was a threat, then good riddance.
Good riddance.
But it'd be interesting to know exactly what that threat was or what proved it, I guess. But continuing a little bit with that Deja News theme, you might also recall that a few weeks ago we talked about there being an issue with Disney's data security. And it turns out that some hacktivists are claiming a leak of over 1 terabyte of Disney data. Now, I know that now a terabyte is like not a ton of data in the grand scheme, but for a group like Disney, depending on what that data is.
So if it's just Slack communications.
Right.
And that kind of stuff, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's just text.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not a lot. A terabyte is not a lot when you're talking about video files. And
sure.
Images and audio and all this other stuff. When it's just text, that's That's a butt ton.
I think, yeah, it's mostly text. Yeah. It says there's a complete 10,000 channel data dump of their internal Slack channels, encompassing files, messages, unreleased projects, raw images, and code.
There is some images, but it's mostly text.
Mostly text. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot
That's
of information.
Pretty good. That's a pretty good bit of information. Yeah.
It says it was, I believe it was, the name was weird. Null Bulge is the name of the attacker.
They are hacktivists, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, they claim to be a hacktivist group protecting artists' rights and ensuring fair compensation for their work. They're saying that AI-generated artwork harms the creative industry and should be discouraged, and that is what motivated them to carry out this attack. AI-generated art.
So I think that obviously, you know, we got a story in the idea that they were compromised, right? That Disney saw a breach.
Yes.
I think the real conversation here, though, is hacktivism.
Yes.
Right? What do y'all think about hacktivism? Do you think that breaking the law and doing these types of activities, do the ends justify the means? Or, right, and here's where it gets fun, is because that can be really subjective.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I don't agree with your ends or your whatever. I don't agree with you. So therefore, yeah, the ends justify the means. But if you were doing it against me, no, the ends do not justify the means, right? I feel like that's how a lot of hacktivists kind of feel.
Yeah.
Could be wrong. I don't know a lot of hacktivists, honestly. But just from what I see, I feel like that is the mindset, is that it's okay for us to do this to you, but if you did it to us, that would be bad.
Yeah, right. I think you're right. And I think, too, where the line is for certain people changes, because maybe some people are like, OK,
right,
you're going a little too far over AI generated art, you know, to hack into Disney and steal their stuff and whatever. But maybe there is a point where those same people would be like, OK, you've gone too far. Now it's OK to do this. I feel like, you know, maybe it's not Disney, but hacktivism in general.
Right.
If somebody's trying to hack in somewhere. So like PETA, right? If there's a hacktivist group trying to hack into PETA, maybe there are people that feel that strongly about what PETA does that are like, we think that this is where the line is. And because of what PETA's doing, what they're doing is evil enough that it justifies what you're doing. So the line is different for everybody.
Again, yeah. It goes back to, depends on what side of the fence you're standing on,
yeah,
whether or not you feel like it's
justifiable.
Yeah. So I just think that I've said this a lot. I do not feel that any position that I have is so weak that it could not withstand scrutiny, and that the better thing to do would be open forum, open debate, bring attention to it by, hey, let's bring in some of these. Let's organize, get the word out, and build our own campaigns to drum up interest and awareness of these things in a way that's cool. And I really, if you want to affect doing things like hacking into their websites and being douchebags by breaking the law and data dumping their stuff, that to me is just not the best way to go about this stuff.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not saying good has never come out of that kind of thing.
Sure.
But ultimately, if we can just start having these conversations and culturally kind of like bring awareness, because as someone who has a likeness, Sophia, you have a likeness.
I do.
Fun fact. This ain't the first time that we've been down this road. And do you know who Crispin Glover is?
That sounds really familiar.
Crispin Glover is an actor.
Okay.
Who sued, I don't know if he sued Universal or if he sued Bob Gale and Bob Zemeckis directly, but they are the two people that are the creators of Back to the Future. He was George McFly in the first Back to the Future. Crispin Glover played George.
Oh, okay.
Okay. He sued them because he asked for more than what they were willing to give in his contract for Back to the Future 2.
Okay.
Therefore, he was not in Back to the Future 2. What they did was they hired an actor that kind of looked like Crispin Glover, and then they did makeup to even further make him look like Crispin Glover as an old man.
Okay.
Right? Because he was hanging upside down in this thing, you know, because of his back being thrown out. Where Crispin Glover sued them is in Back to the Future 1, they took molds of his face to make his old makeup as he was an older man in the beginning of the film, right?
Okay.
And they used those molds to create the face on the actor in Back to the Future 2. And he said, "You do not own my likeness."
Interesting.
And I was like, this is an interesting case. This is the case. Like, that's the kind of stuff that if you get out there, like, that is interesting. Yeah. You probably want to know more about that and want to look in. Did he win the case? And how did that come out? And what was his arguments? What was the rebuttal? That's interesting stuff. That's the kind of stuff that can really influence some positive change in the industry. If you start saying, hey, you know what? I don't think you did right by these artists and stuff by using AI. And I would much rather put money in someone's pocket that's an artist. Otherwise, we're going to lose true artistic renditions of things, right? True yeah. artistic vision. And the only time we'll ever see that and have availability to that will become the elite, because now art by a human becomes a high level commodity. It becomes like a Veblen good.
Yeah.
Where only the richest people have it, because otherwise you just go get AI to generate it and it becomes sand. Art becomes sand.
That's an interesting point, because if these people that carried out this attack are saying they did it on behalf of the artist because it's unjust or unjust to artists to be using AI art and da da da. If that kind of scenario didn't happen, you'd think artists would be all for that, because now their art's worth more because the market's so saturated with computer generated art that what I create.
Yeah, but the market shrinks, right? Because then only the best of the best.
That's true. They can't commission to people on Twitter anymore.
I can't just become like, oh, I'm going to create, you know, hotel lobby art.
Yeah.
I'm just getting it done by AI. AI is doing that. Now, there's an argument on the other side of that as well, right? Hey, an artist could use AI to see their vision come out.
Right, to kind of give them an idea.
I'm not here to argue one way or the other.
Sure.
It's just an interesting talk on whether or not the hacktivist should have taken this type of action.
Yeah, to go that far.
Right.
Yeah. And risk, like, I mean, it's Disney. If any company's going to come after you and there's going to be legal ramifications,
you do not
want to. This is not a mom and pop shop. It's Disney.
We're talking the House of Mouse here.
This is high risk, low reward situation, honestly.
They got pinky rings and gold chains.
You're going to be Billy Bats on the floor of the bar.
Yeah, you are.
It's not going to look good for you.
I do not envy you, you poor souls, you.
I have some input from our director. I don't know if he wants to show it on the screen and put his name to this or not.
Okay.
Christian says, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. AI art is sick. Get good, dumb artist. Make sculptures or tapestries. Tell the people the AI art is great. Hoorah. So that's, Christian would like you to know, that is what he thinks. I'm sure there are people that agree.
I didn't understand a word of that.
No? Christian likes AI art. He thinks it's cool.
I think there's obviously a place for AI art. I think there's a place. I think we just haven't found the equilibrium with it yet. I think the AI is so hot and so new, and people are seeing, I mean organizations, companies that need art, seeing the bottom line benefit of not having to pay someone and just getting a Midjourney account.
I think at the end of the day, the people will respond. And so if Disney did start using AI for all their stuff to generate a bunch of animation, I think you'd see enough people be like, well, this is crap.
The
culture
will influence. That'll dictate. Mm-hmm. Right. What? If we say we don't want AI art, or we want less AI, or we want AI art like this, or you've gone too much, I don't mind AI. You see what I mean? Hacktivism is, it's just not the way to go. That was the wrong move. Now you've painted yourselves as the a-holes in the story.
Stealing information.
I mean, I guess you're okay with that. You had to know that going in. Yeah. No one's going to think you're Robin Hood.
Yeah. Because it helps nobody, really.
Right.
You got a terabyte of data from Disney. Sure, it's a lot of stuff, but like...
Yeah, what are you doing with that data?
Who's that going to really help?
Did they say what they're doing with it?
I don't think so. It was more just... I kind of wonder if this was just supposed to be like, oh, this is a warning. It says they claim they are disseminating the stolen data. For, like, to what end? I'm not sure.
I mean, are they just trying to hurt Disney on the bottom line? Because again, it just goes back to... You're not the hero here, right?
Yeah.
That's not how you hurt Disney if you think what they're doing is wrong.
Yeah. And more hurts in their wallets.
Right. Don't
buy their stuff.
I love to see when organizations or companies, they misstep, they gaff hard, and people, you know, recoil. And they feel that in the pocketbook, and they feel that their brand is being hurt, and they go, you know what? We made a mistake. We're not going to do that anymore. And then... As a consumer, I like to go, you're forgiven.
Yeah.
Right?
You learn.
You're doing the right thing now, and I want to reward you for that.
Yeah.
So I will continue to now purchase or use your service or whatever the case is.
Lesson learned.
Right? If there's no path to forgiveness, if there's no reconciliation between the two entities, then they just feel like, I'll just do whatever I want then.
Yeah.
And if it burns, it burns. If it doesn't, right? Because it's already burning. So what's the harm? So we gotta be reasonable here.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
gotta be reasonable. There's a compromise to be had. We can figure this out. We can find common ground, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that is always a very interesting topic to get into, especially, I mean, this obviously the hacktivism and then the fact that their cause was because screw AI generation, whatever. Always a real interesting topic to get into. Curious to know what y'all's opinions are on that and what side of the fence you're on and what do you think is too far when it comes to this kind of stuff? Me personally, my throat's starting to hurt. I need to take a water break. So I'm going to deem we are taking a break because we still have some more stuff to get through. So I recommend that you take a water break as well. We'll be right back with more Technado.
Anthony, what are we going to be talking about?
We are talking about our newest and most excellent Cloud Plus course. This course really does an amazing job of taking the learner from the very fundamental aspects of cloud and then walking them through some of the more advanced topics. They're going to learn about how to secure the cloud, how to optimize the cloud, how to save costs with the cloud. So this is not a course with complete bias to AWS or Google Cloud Platform or Microsoft Azure. We breathe life into this material by doing demonstrations across all of the big three cloud vendors.
We have a lot of fun in Cloud Plus and we know that you will too, so come check it out.
Welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us through that break. We'll get right into it because this is one of my favorite segments and we haven't seen it in so long.
Oh, well, you did jump right to it, didn't
and
you?
I am so excited.
She is excited.
I don't get to do this noise very often anymore. So, oh, yeah, you
this
know.
This is what
you're
waiting
know.
For.
So,
let's hear it.
This segment is called.
It better be good.
Is called.
Dope!
Do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do, so.
Dope!
Hear it.
I've heard you do better. Heard you do better.
Well, now I'm depressed.
You should be.
SZA broke into a U.S. federal agency and no one noticed for a full 5 months. I need the Charlie Brown sad music playing in the background. I think this counts as a dough because it's like they broke into a U.S. federal agency and nobody was any the wiser.
I agree. Absolutely a dough segment here. This is crazy.
Scary.
It's funny that the CISA... You know, they've had their own issues.
True.
We have reported on that.
Oh, yes, they have.
Right? Where they were like, hey, you know, this Ivanti thing's like a real problem. You should patch. I mean, we're not going to.
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't it Ivanti? I think it was Ivanti.
Yeah.
I guess they took that message to heart when they got smoked by whatever group that hit them. I forget who. We read so many articles, it just starts all bleeding together.
Blends together.
After a while.
Yeah.
But... So they were performing red team operations, right? They have a red team crew that was taking a look at what is the state of security in most of our federal agencies. Let's take a little peek behind the curtain here and see how well they do. And it did not go well, apparently, because, right, how long were they in there? Months?
5 months.
5 months.
And one of the vulnerabilities they were able to exploit was a 9.8.
Yeah, from an Oracle vulnerability, right? It was wasn't it? Wasn't Oracle?
Yeah, Oracle Solaris.
Yeah.
The target agency is Oracle Solaris Enclave, leading to what it said was a full compromise.
So what they found was the fact that not only were they able to find exploits, but so the federal government mandates, so they have this thing called the KEV, the Known Exploitable Vulnerabilities Database, and that anytime they find something that's like that, they add it to the KEV. They go, oh, man, we got software. It's actually exploitable because we did it. Add that to the KEV. And once it's in the KEV, then the federal organizations, by dictate, must come to compliance within a certain period of time. And they were finding that that was not happening due to X, Y, and Z factors. And it was like, this is why we do red teaming. Right? I thought that's why I picked this article, because it was a prime example of why red teaming is important. And it's not just fun and games, right? To go, oh man, look how elite I am and all the cool hacks I can do. And I'm so good at this. You can't detect me. They're the John Cena of, you know, they're like.
You can't see me. My time is now.
That's right.
maybe you can shed some light on this, because One of the things that this article says is that about 2 weeks after the team, Cis's team, obtained access, exploit code was released publicly into a popular open source exploitation framework, and the Cis identified that the vulnerability was exploited by an unknown third party. So are they saying that, like, they exploited it, but they had to be like, oh, we don't know who exploited it, or was this just while they were in there, there happened to be a third party that was also poking around in there, and it was like, oh, that wasn't us. That was somebody else. I guess we better add this to the...
Yeah, that absolutely sounds like they're saying we have found that you have been compromised.
Because then at that point, if this was only 2 weeks after they obtained access, did they then just stay in there while this other team had gained access? And
oh, was it another team, or was it an unknown party? Did they say?
It just says they identified that the vulnerability was exploited by an unknown third party. So I don't know if that was them saying, like,
That's a lot of text. Can you highlight that for us?
Yes, I can. I didn't realize he put it up there.
Yeah.
Yes, an unknown third party here.
There we go.
So I don't know if that was them saying, like, oh, shoot.
So if it's,
like, was it actually? Or was that them saying?
You're saying it's possibly another red team?
Or, like, was this a saying, like, were they the ones that exploited this?
No.
And they're saying
unknown third party means we don't know who did.
Okay. So this wasn't like a cheeky little, oh, we don't know. It wasn't us.
When they say an unknown third party, that means that wasn't us.
Okay. So, yeah.
It's not the government. We don't know who this was. If they know it wasn't them, then who was it?
I guess.
Right? Logic dictates that if it wasn't us, it was an enemy.
It was a bad guy.
Right.
I'd love to see a timeline of all this going down, because it says it was about 2 weeks after this red team obtained access that they realized that this was going on. So did they then still stay in there and keep poking around? Because to bring it to their attention would be to admit that they were poking around in there too. And if
so
they were,
they probably, that will be one of those things. So when you do a red team engagement, you'll have kind of like these things that, what do they call them? I forget. It's like escaping my brain right now. Basically, there will be things that make you pull the alarm and go, hey, I must inform you. I must, by a mandate, say, I have discovered something. I have to go to my point of contact, let them know that this has been discovered, and we kind of halt thing.
Okay.
The fun thing about the federal government is there's many a system for them to red team against. And yes, ultimately the red team's goal is to gain access and then persist. They are to basically act as APT.
Okay.
They want to go undetected and persist for as long as humanly possible, because the purpose of red teaming is to a couple fold, right? Find vulnerabilities that are exploitable and then check the defenses of the blue team.
Okay.
Right. Are the defenses that we put in place working? And
right.
So to what extent?
Yeah.
Right. So that's the purpose of doing red team operations, is to see if all the money and time and effort that we're putting into our defenses are completely inept and ineffective.
So reassuring.
We need to take a harder look at what's going on here. Okay, red team, how was it that you were able to do all this? So once the red team engagement ends, they have an after action report where they sit around and go, well, we found this cool old 9.8 for Oracle, and we gained full compromise to that system. From there, we pivoted and we were able to walk through because you didn't have any defenses that were detecting of this, that, and the other, and so on and so forth. And then the blue team learns, they build new fences, and then we red team again. And we see how effective are the new fences.
Yeah. What controls do we put in place to fix
these
issues?
This is an iterative cycle that you go through.
They were able to get access to tier zero assets, which is a term I've never heard before, but apparently it means the most highly privileged systems.
Correct.
That is so fun.
Yeah.
And thrilling. That's crazy.
And fun fact, ladies and gentlemen, whether or not we advertise this, we are in the middle of a cyber war.
Yeah.
With many a different nation states. So this doesn't bode.
Many a different highly skilled nation states.
Yeah.
So if we can do this, I feel like it's not going to be difficult for... this is no insult to the abilities of American cyber teams and all that stuff.
Listen, they are working hard, I guarantee
it. Some of the best and brightest. But so does Russia and so does China.
Right.
So it's like, if we can do this, then it can't be that difficult.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to know they're doing red team operations, because that means that hopefully this time next year, we got bigger, better, badder fences that stop these things from occurring.
That is true.
Yeah.
Hopefully. One can always dream. But thank you for bringing this up, because that is Wow, that's so reassuring. But you're right. It's good that the red team engagements are going on, because how do we fix these problems if we don't know about them? I think that was the only other segment that I had for the day, but we do have some other articles that we want to jump through really quick. I talked to Daniel a little bit about this morning, and he had some opinions, and so I'm excited. So some small opinions.
Yeah.
Some brief opinions. Signal, this is the title of the article, not my personal opinion. Signal downplays encryption key flaw, fixes it after X drama. X being the social media website. Apparently, this has been ongoing. This issue has been ongoing since 2018. There's some issue with Signal storing an encryption key that it used for data on like a desktop app. If you use Signal on your desktop, storing that encryption key in plain text. And people were like, hey, that seems like a bad idea. And Signal's argument was, if somebody can get to your desktop and get to that encryption key, you're already, like, you're screwed already. There's nothing that we can do about that. So what would then be the point in us going in and changing this? And that was 6 years ago that this first came up.
Mm-hmm.
And now
we reported on this on Technado.
I'm sure you did, but I was not.
This was well before your time.
Yes. I was barely an adult, so I'm sure I was not paying attention at that time. I was just trying to not drop out of college. So this is something that resurfaced now on X because Elon Musk tweeted and said, there's no vulnerabilities with Signal. This is curious that they haven't fixed these vulnerabilities. Signal did not take kindly to that and said, well, hang on. That's a heavy accusation you're leveraging against us. We've got known vulnerabilities and da da da. So this is the vulnerability, I guess, that was in question.
Yeah.
And yeah, you were saying this morning that
this is a little more nuanced than everyone's making it off to be. And I think that's why Signal has a leg to stand on when they say it's not a vulnerability. Okay. Right. You have to have access to my device. Excuse me. To be able to actually exploit this. So if we're down that road already, I got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
And I got bigger problems than the fact that you have my Signal. Right. Yes and no. Obviously you do have a big problem if someone has gained unauthorized access to your device. That is something you wish to avoid. It's just common good security practice to say, if you can encrypt it, encrypt it.
Right, sure. Right?
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not encrypt it? Right? So there's the Elon Musk side of things that goes, yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why aren't you, like, we've been talking about this for 6 years now, apparently. Why haven't you just encrypt the thing?
Yeah.
Right? Now, we've seen how well that worked out for companies like LastPass, right?
True.
Where they're like, it's highly unlikely, blah, 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 blah. It is highly unlikely. But in the eventuality that it does happen, you should just add that layer of defense to your to your clients.
Why would you not?
Don't bitch and moan about it. Just do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Especially because it doesn't seem like there's a downside to doing
there's
that.
There's not.
It's not like,
only
well,
upsides for them.
To implement that would mean that this is going to run slower and you're not going to be able to do X, Y, Z. Like, it doesn't seem like there would be a negative to it. So why not just do it?
Correct. Why not?
Just in case.
Listen, ounce of prevention's worth a pound of cure, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they say, and it's true because it's true. You just encrypt the thing. Listen, what was it? The Microsoft recall, right?
Yes.
We've been talking about recall. Guess what? That sucker got basically 86'd.
Mm-hmm.
It's done because what was it doing? Nothing good.
Mm-hmm.
And for no good reason. So Listen, Signal, I love what you're trying to do. I love that you have an app that gives people end-to-end encryption. You seem to be a fan of encryption. So encrypt. Get encrypty. Go for it.
Get encrypty?
Yeah.
Rick and Morty?
Is that a Rick and Morty?
Get Schwifty is the Rick and Morty.
Oh, yes, I know that one.
Just sounded
my
a
mind
little,
did not go there.
Sounded a little similar.
Yeah.
If you don't know, I just realized that I use Signal, but I didn't know what it was before, like a year ago. It's an encrypted messaging service for instant messaging, voice calls, and video calls. And like Daniel said, provides end-to-end encryption. So I think that's a big part of why people are especially is raising red flags for people, because they purport to be
it just
this
doesn't
super
make sense
secure,
that you wouldn't do this.
Yeah, that would be your reason for using Signal, is because you want something that's encrypted and super secure. And then to see but you're not really encrypting everything that you can, even if the argument is that, if somebody can get to that point, you've got bigger problems. Okay, that may be true, but this doesn't need to be one of my problems. Why would you not encrypt it if you can? So that was the only reason I wanted to pull it and talk about it a little bit, is because I'm a Signal enjoyer. I do like what Signal does, and I like the mission that they've got, given us some.
I thought it was interesting the tweet that they had in there from some from MISC. They said, you know, TLDR didn't install the Signal app for macOS. It is not secure. I carried out this small experiment. I wrote a simple Python script that copies the directory of Signal's local storage to another location to mimic malicious script or app. Okay, so you've been compromised, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Right? And that's where it's like, okay, I feel like you're making a mountain out of a molehill here. As far as like, yes, it is a problem, and they should be there, but you said, I'm mimicking the fact that you have malware and remote access.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
hell, true. I could just sit here and watch you type. You know, I could put in a keyboard. Let's say you still have to worry about things, right? It's not the fact that, again, Signal, do your due diligence, encrypt the thing. So let's all just stop throwing rocks at each other on this one and just go, hey, Signal, we'd really like to see you just encrypt that thing. And Signal, just go, you know what? You're absolutely right. We're going to do that. As of right now, encryption on table.
It looks like they did.
And they did, right?
Yeah.
That was the thing. So what are we mad about?
Yeah.
That it took this long? Okay.
That was, yeah, there was some comment that they highlighted. Somebody said, do better next time. Don't wait for Twitter drama to implement things. Be more responsive. Learn your lesson.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. I think that's a fair critique.
Mm-hmm.
But now that goes back to what I was talking about before about let's
forgive them and move on. Yeah.
They did the thing you said. Now reward them for doing it.
Yeah. Positive reinforcement.
Unless you feel like the system is so busted that you no longer trust them or can trust them. LastPass. Right? Then, right? Fortinet. Yeah. These companies that have a history of nothing but security issues and flaws.
Because to my knowledge,
not doing it right.
Yeah. I don't recall, like I said, I've only been using Signal for a year or two. But to my knowledge, I don't recall there being any giant glaring security. Oh my God, this thing went wrong with Signal in however many years.
Nope. I don't hear a lot of people going, well, my Signal was hacked.
Right. Exactly. Right? Yeah. So they seem to have a pretty decent track record.
Yeah.
And I think
data breach because of Signal.
Right.
Not hearing those things.
Mm-mm. No. So I think that's a good point.
I'm saying they're not out there. I'm just saying I haven't heard it yet.
Right. Yeah. There's not been anything crazy big like that we saw with LastPass or some of these other companies that have a history of it. Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good point. Forgive when they do the right thing.
Right.
And positive reinforcement.
That's
reward
right.
For good behavior. Right. Like we're in preschool.
Give them the cookie.
Give them the cookie. Yes, exactly.
Good boy. That's what you do. You good boy, Signal.
Well, in this case, it wasn't, you know, anything crazy. It wasn't like a big exploit or anything. It was just, hey, maybe encrypt something that you could be encrypting. However, this next story coming to us from Bleeping Computer, a little bit more concerning. Hackers use POC exploits and attacks 22 minutes after release. That's pretty impressive. I'm not saying it's good, but objectively,
but it is impressive.
It's impressive.
Absolutely, yeah. Right? This is crazy that within 22 minutes of a POC being available on the internet, Cloudflare kind of did some... where they started looking for the attack and going, oh, there it is within 22 minutes. That's kind of scary.
You have to be watching and waiting for this POC like to come out, like wait as an attacker.
Right. So this is so fast that your defense literally cannot get ahead of it.
How could you possibly... Even if at the time that a POC is made available, that if there's a patch, even if that's the case, there's no way that you could totally implement everything you need to in a span of 20 minutes.
If that doesn't scare you, nothing will, right? This is the Cruella de Vil
shivering my timbers right now.
Yeah.
Shaking in boots.
Of articles. And that's why I picked this article ultimately for us to have this conversation of, what do you think about that?
Like the fact that there's no hope? Okay.
There's no dumpster fire behind me, right?
That's what we need
Christian
on this screen.
Get on the wall. Yeah.
Put a dumpster
fire over there when you get a chance. And that'll be our new background.
Yeah, just permanently have like a little, it'd be like those fireplace animations at Christmas time, but it's a dumpster.
Yeah, it's just a dumpster.
I guess it, just because this can happen, doesn't mean that that's the norm, that attackers are, every time there's a proof of concept that's out there, every time there's a new exploit, that they're exploiting it immediately.
Yeah.
That it's possible, but it's not the norm. But at what point, as people get more and more advanced and more skilled, does this become kind of the norm? Like eventually, years and years and years and years from now, do we get to a point where it's like, oh yeah, that's just...
We just accept. The bombs are falling, yeah.
Nothing we can do.
So the article does go into, what do we think we can do about this? And it says right here, the internet firm, which I believe they are meaning Cloudflare, says the only way to combat this speed is to employ AI assistance to quickly develop effective detection rules. The speed of exploitation of disclosed CVEs is often quicker than the speed at which humans can create WAF rules or create and deploy patches to mitigate attacks, explains the Cloudflare report. I'm totally going to like read this report because it does seem interesting. The fact that the amount of data that Cloudflare processes is astronomical. It's so crazy that it boggles the mind. And I want to look in to see what further things they have. It says this also applies to our internal security analysis team that maintains the WAF managed rule set, which led us to combine the human written signatures with an ML-based approach to achieve the best balance between low false positives and speed of response. So maybe this is, you know, we kind of complained about AI earlier. In a way, you know, it has its pros and cons. This is definitely one of its pros.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people talking in the security space about AI is going to take our jobs. Right. We've had AI and ML, maybe not at the level of which we do now, but we've had it in some capacity for quite some time. And the way it has always been best implemented is to supplement
and fill in the gaps,
automatically do the things that it takes us as humans a while to do.
Right.
Love seeing that.
Yeah. I think in this case, like if this were to be something that becomes the norm that you employ AI assistance to quickly develop effective detection rules.
Is that our dumpster? Is that the dumpster fire? It's a little overblown. We can't see it fun. Very well. So if you can.
That looks like it's from like an old PlayStation game or something. Poor animation. But thank you, Christian. We do appreciate the effort. I think that in this case, it's probably not going to be perfect, right? Because AI doesn't always get it right.
Yeah.
But I think as like almost like a triage measure to like immediately as soon as there's a new exploit available or proof of concept is released or whatever the case may be, you've got some kind of system in place that can just put up a wall real quick and then a human can then address it.
And we can fine tune it.
And fine tune it and fix it, right?
The AI will start fine tuning itself.
That's true.
Right? You can make it do that. But obviously like the human ability, someone was talking about AI the other day and how if you take AI, right? And you say, here is me. Recognize me. It'll go, okay, cool. I know who you are. And you show a picture of me and it goes, that's Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Right, cool. And if I put a hat on, it goes, who the hell is that? Right?
It's crying.
What are you talking about? But my, you know, 3-year-old son can see me across a field with a hat on and a jacket and go, Dad.
Yeah.
Right? That's human intelligence versus where AI is at now. Eventually it's going to get to that singularity where it has, you know, on par. But right now, it just does some of these things really well.
Yeah.
And we still need us because we see things in a way that it doesn't. And it sees things in a way that we don't.
Right.
So it's a good combination of the two right now. In other news, just in the same article, it says 6.8 of all internet traffic is DDoS.
All right. Hey, let's go for 7, guys.
We'll get there. Everybody fire up the low orbit
ion cannon. Get your botnets ready.
Yeah, and let's start hammering down. Don't do that.
They just threw that in at the end? Like, it's just, by the way. In addition to this report.
I'm guessing it's just like malicious traffic on the
internet. Okay, this was just another part of the report I see. Huh. Yeah, because it's like the whole thing is about this, like, hey, look, how
and then
quickly,
by the way.
Yeah, just so you know, here's your little black pill for the day.
If you shaking in your boots enough.
7%, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
We've been computers fear-mongering at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Because 6.8% of, I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot, but considering the amount of internet traffic that there is, 6.8% of that is a lot. This looks so cool. This looks like I'm walking away from an explosion right now.
You're
the good
guy in a movie,
just garbage.
Right?
Yeah. It's like Henry Hill walking away from the cars. I blew up some cars. I didn't. Yeah. I didn't blow up some cars.
The Rolling Stones, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I need some music in the background. I need Layla or something playing in the background.
Layla. There you go.
There you go. Well, thank you for bringing that to our attention. That was a fun conversation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think in this case, AI has the potential to do some good. So maybe we'll start to see that implemented a little more regularly.
Agreed.
And some less happy news, I guess, in the world of gaming. This is not as like serious or, oh my God, it's a threat. And this is just kind of an inconvenience. But you may have heard that College Football 25, which has been pretty largely anticipated this year, is coming out.
The most generic game name I've ever heard in my life. College Football 25.
It used to be like, you remember the NCAA games?
Yeah.
And it had like Tebow on the front and all that. I'm saying Tebow.
These were the EA?
Yes. So it is still EA, but they had to change the name.
Copyrights or something.
I think so. Yeah. Off the top of my head, I don't remember the exact reason, but
I like how they went. They called it NCAA and you know all that stuff for years.
Well, and the last iteration of that to come out was in like 2011 or 2013. So they stopped. And I think
So that was like over 10 years.
It was a while ago. Yeah. And I think maybe part of it was the fact that it was college football and pro football is different. You know, the Madden games, because those guys are making money anyway. But at the time, college football players couldn't really make money off of their likeness.
That's true.
Now they can with the name, image, and likeness stuff that's going on. So college football 25, really highly anticipated this year for fans of those kind of games.
Did the college games originally back in the, you know, late 2010s or whatever, did they use the likeness of the players? Or did they just make generic players?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was pretty. My older brother really enjoyed them. I'd be curious to know what he thinks.
I don't play sports ball. But or watch it.
Get the goal basket. I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Get the goal.
Daniel's pretty largely not.
Listen, I played football as a kid. Hmm? My dad ruined that experience for me, and then I flipped the double birds to sports.
That's fair. That's a fair assessment.
Yeah,
I can appreciate that. I'm a football enjoyer, at least on the college level. I like my Gators, even though. You know, we're struggling a little bit right now. But anyway.
Good. So, hopefully they close the sports program and just becomes an academic university.
This is the one time, like playing as the Gators in this game, this is the one time that they'll win. It's great. I get to like heal myself a little bit. But the news here is that they are experiencing quite a few issues with their servers and being overloaded, and the game's not even out yet. So it's
they DDoS themselves.
They did. They I guess weren't.
That's
prepared.
Where the 6.8 traffic came from. They were trying to hit that solid 7.
Come on, guys, we're so close. the game's not going to be officially released until it'll be the day after this episode comes out. July 19th is the official release date for College Football 25, but it came out in early access. And this wasn't even, to my understanding, early access in that, oh, well, hey, it's kind of in beta, right? There's still going to be errors and bugs and things. This was like, no, this is the full game ready to go. But if you pay, you get to access it before everybody else. And I guess a lot of people did that. Weird, right? I guess a lot of people did that. And there was an article that talked about, 700,000 players in the first day of early access period.
That scares me, because if more people start paying for early access, the early access to the game was more than if you just wait for the game to come out.
I think so.
Right? So what does that do? If people are willing to pay the more money, that means we don't do early access. The game just now costs that much.
Yeah.
Because people are just willing to pay it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hope that doesn't become the norm. I don't have that kind of money. So.
You have to say no to these things.
Yeah. You have to abstain.
That's right. You go, no, I'm fine. It'll come out when it comes out.
But
I've waited this long.
At least 700,000 people agreed to do this and gain the early access. And this was just the people
FOMO
that...
FOMO is powerful, isn't it?
It is. And these were just the people that were online, that were accessing it and were connected on.
Wow.
There are still offline players, but it doesn't... There's no way for them to document that. Yeah. So, 713,974 players online at one point as of the evening that the day this was released. And... I was talking to my brother, and he was playing this yesterday, and he said at some point, it just, like, everything stopped working. He couldn't get to anything. None of the game modes were working.
Yeah.
And the game's not even out yet. And so I just thought that was funny. I'm like, you know, you had all this hype. Everybody was super excited. And then there were still errors.
You had one job.
There were people that were saying that when they tried to play what's called Dynasty mode, they were met with an error, and it gives you two options, but they both just said Lorem Ipsum and had like a little icon that was...
Yeah.
So even then, there were still issues that people were running into, even though it was supposed to be the fully completed game. So not having a great time over there at EA right now, I don't think. And they're still running into issues as of right now with those servers not being fully up to par.
I think that if this has been their first iteration into pre-release access, and it went this well... Sure, it'll happen again.
And people, of course, are like, there's no excuse not to be ready. You knew this was going to be popular. You're fragile servers. And so people are obviously,
people like to really start hitting below the bell.
Once
they feel wrong, don't they?
They really, especially people.
Not that was too harsh, but I'm sure there's some Twitter, some tweets or whatever the hell they are now. X's.
X posts.
Yeah. And whatnot that are saucy.
People are already, they have a little bit of a bad taste in their mouth about EA, because EA, I think, was one of these game groups that microtransactions were a big thing. Yeah. And people were pissed at EA for that, like a while ago, before any of this.
Oh, gotcha.
So already, I think people are not inclined to be super forgiving of EA. They're already primed to be like, you know, start barking at them.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you are a fan of
EA Clubs Baby Seals. It doesn't do that. I'm kidding. That's a joke.
It takes them to clubs.
Yeah.
And they dance and they party and they have a good time.
It's a rave.
The end.
Just baby seals everywhere.
And it's the singer seal. Yeah. It's not even an animal. It's
right. Just
so if you're interested in playing this game, just know you may run into some issues like that. And I kind of want to try it. I probably won't buy it. I'll go to my brother's house and try it. But, you know, I'd be curious to at least play it. And apparently the people that have been able to get on and access it,
is Gamefly still a thing?
Man, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I don't think it is, but we loved Gamefly.
I did
it was
too.
So cool. If you know what Gamefly is, it was kind of like Netflix, like the original Netflix where you get like a DVD at a time. But for games, we
guess
used
what?
That. Is it around?
It is still around, ladies and
no
gentlemen.
No way.
Yes, ma'am.
That's crazy.
You can get an account today. Man. Not that this is sponsored by Gamefly, but it's just obviously off the top of my head.
That would be a really random sponsorship, considering like we didn't even know that they were still active.
Hey, I got DM'd by some marketer saying, remember the Fido ring?
Oh, yeah.
Right? And it was like, we got like 8 customers because of you, apparently.
Wow.
I was like, what?
Huh. Well, I mean,
because
yeah.
we mentioned it on TechNator.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Didn't realize we had that kind of pull with 8 whole people. That's crazy.
8 clients. 8 new clients.
To those 8 of you, thank you. We hope you're enjoying your Fido ring, truly. That was all I had about that, but I was just kind of excited that was coming out this week, so I wanted to touch on it. That was just my own personal, my own personal
That's
passion
cool.
project there.
No, we like gaming here. We do. Actually, fun fact: we were thinking about like doing a Technado where we game.
I think that'd be fun.
I think that would be fun.
There is an instance coming up in the next few weeks where I'm going to be out for a couple days.
Yeah,
and so
that might be a good time.
That might be the week.
Who knows? Who knows?
I don't know. Keep an eye out.
If you tune in one day and there's a game on the screen, you'll be like, oh, this is that.
That's the gaming edition. Yeah. Well, until then, I'm looking forward to that. I really do hope that happens. And I think we can make it. And just talk tech while we game.
Yeah,
I think
just
that'd be
fun.
Super fun.
Just for the fun of it.
Just for the fun of it. It'll be a more laid back episode. So
because we're not laid back. We're very staunch and stiff.
Talking all kinds of crap about companies.
In other news.
And former President Gerald Ford. That was pretty much all I had for news this week. Like I said, there wasn't a ton that I saw that was breaking other than those patches that you brought up. So glad you brought those up.
Of course. Hey,
was there anything else that I missed? I don't think so.
Man, I'm running out of voice, I got to be honest.
Running out of voice. Yeah, it's getting close to our
lunchtime.
Our lunching hour as well. So our lunching hour. Maybe when you're watching this, it's not.
It's 3 a.m. It's lunching time.
Like we're goblins. Yeah. I will be having that.
Well, you did mention double toil and trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's a good point. Well, yeah, then
the
we're going to go.
The witching hour is what I think.
The witching hour, yeah. We're going to go goblin mode and go get some lunch in just a second. So thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Technado. Subscribe so you never miss an episode in the future and leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. But until then, we'll see you next week.
Hasta.
Hasta. Thanks for watching. If you enjoyed today's show, consider subscribing so you'll never miss a new episode.